Okay, you may turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. I know we just preached through 1 Samuel not long ago, but I thought our children should fall in love with this account as I have. And so we want to look at giants in our lives. What are the giants, and do we have giants in our lives, and how should we respond to them? And I think we can get a good glimpse of the answer to that by looking at how David responded to his giant Goliath. We have the setting here in 1 Samuel 17 where the Philistine army is on a mountain on one side, and the Israeli army is on the opposite side, both on mountain sides, with a valley, Elah, between them, separating them. And twice a day we have Goliath coming out and bellowing or challenging the Israelites to a one-on-one battle. And he tells them, choose you a man that's willing to come out and fight me. And I don't know how many of you in that setting would have been willing to be the man that steps out. Goliath, we're told, was 9 feet, 6 inches tall. And in verse 4 through 11, Goliath is described there by his physical stature, by his massive armor. And David, in verses 12 through 15, there's nothing said about David's stature, his strength, or his weapons. And so there's quite a contrast here between the two. But it tells us here that Goliath wore a bronze helmet. His armor weighed 150 pounds, which, to give you a picture of what that is, it would be like hanging 15 milk jugs on your shoulder and try and move around with that. And it also tells us that he carried a javelin on his shoulder. The shaft of his spear was as heavy and thick as a weaver's beam, and it was tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. That's the weight of a normal bowling ball. And his armor bearer walked in ahead of him carrying a shield. So that's how Goliath was equipped for battle. Now look at Goliath's challenge to God's people, beginning at verse 8 through 11. It says, he stood and he cried unto the armies of Israel, and he said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and you servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall you be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we might fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now, the giant did this for 40 days. All the well-trained men of Israel's army were terrified. Tells us they were greatly afraid. Our giants often look intimidating. They might look threatening, maybe dangerous. They might even leave us terrified and deeply shaken. So this taunting, understand, is going on every day, twice a day. It's been going on for 40 days, and nothing changes. It doesn't go away. Our giants don't just go away. Goliath didn't get bored and move on to another army. And God didn't strike him dead while he was asleep to make it easier for the Israelites. Our giants don't just go away. So the army of Israel does nothing. So nothing changes. Then there's David. David wasn't even in the army. Instead, David's at home feeding sheep, taking care of sheep. But his dad tells him one morning, "I want you to go check on your brothers and take them some food." And so let's look at David, what some of the things that he did right in meeting his giant. It's suggested, not here, but in commentaries, it's suggested that David may have only been 15 years old at this time. But David did what his father asked him to do. In verse 17, "Then said Jesse to his son David, 'Take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp.'" And history would tell us that it was about 12 miles from his home there. Verse 20, "So David rose early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper." And then as David gets to the Israeli army, Samson is out there bellowing this challenge, as usual. And verse 26, David is asking questions. And it says, "He spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, 'What shall be done to the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? And for who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?'" Now, what had Saul promised to the person that would do this? He promised the man that would kill this giant marriage to his daughter, and no more taxes for your family. Now, most of us would go for that one, maybe. But no more taxes. And so when David is out there asking these questions, David's brothers were irritated with him, and they tried to intimidate him. "Who did you leave your few sheep with?" As if very insignificant job that he has. "What are you doing around here anyway?" And David responds by saying, "What have I done? I was only asking a question." David goes to Saul, and he offers to go take down Goliath. Now, it's interesting, Goliath was the Philistines' biggest man. Saul was the Israelites' biggest man. You remember when he was anointed king, that it says that he was, from his shoulders up, taller than anyone else in Israel? So he was their giant. He's the one that should have been taking him on. But he was just as fearful as the rest. Now, in defense of Saul, remember the Spirit of God had left him. And that Spirit of God that left him was replaced by an evil spirit from the Lord. And so fear immobilized him. And fear immobilizes us against our giants, especially when we realize God has left us or we have left him. And so we need to face our giants with God. David wasn't comfortable with all this army gear to protect him. Verse 34, David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." So you see what's behind this? The defying of God. Well, David wanted to do things the way that he was familiar with. In verses 38 through 39, it says that Saul wanted to clothe David with his own armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk. It says, but he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I can't even walk with these. I haven't tested them. And so David took them off. Now, can you just imagine with me Saul's size, possibly at least a third bigger than David, if David was in fact a youth, and having Saul's armor on him? What a hindrance. And especially the fact that he could not attest to the fact that this armor would do him any good. He had never tried it before. It hadn't been tested for him. So let's not try and be something that we're not, or try to do something we're not called to do, or rely on an armor that we haven't tested. Have we tested God? Do we know from previous experiences like David did that God can be trusted? Too many people are trying to use a sword when a slingshot is more their size. In verse 43, David didn't let Goliath talk down to him. It says that the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. So don't listen to that voice that puts you down or discourages you. You know, in spite of the doubters, David was full of faith, and he was chosen for the battle. And so David speaks to his giant in verses 45 to 47. Says, Then said David to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day, the Lord's going to deliver you into my hand. I'm going to strike you and take your head from you. And this day will I give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the field. Why? That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hand. Look at the confidence that David had from his previous experiences. And so with that confidence, David ran toward the giant instead of running away from his giant. And note in verses 48, so it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to David, David hurried and ran toward him, toward the army to meet the Philistine. So he didn't just run toward Goliath, he ran toward the whole army. And we know the story how David had gathered 5 smooth stones, but it only took one stone that was well placed to take down Goliath. And he cut off Goliath's head, and he brought it back to Jerusalem, and he put Goliath's armor in his tent as a constant reminder. What is a mental trophy that you have of God doing something for you in your past? David had a number of trophy memories, the lion, the bear, and now this giant, the army armor from Goliath. All of us are going to face giants, but with God's help, we too can overcome the giants in our lives. So what are some things we need to do to be victorious over our giants in our day? First, we need to have the right attitude toward people, as David did. Now, I'm talking about anyone that we rub shoulders with. Notice that David had the right attitude, first of all, towards his father. He obeyed him. He did what he was told. David was out there feeding his father's sheep, but his dad had another job for him. Now, David could have griped he could have complained, but he didn't. Early the next morning, he went as instructed. And I want to remind us of something that we may not be thinking about right here, but David has been anointed king already. David should have been in the king's palace, but he was back with the sheep. And so instead of being the king, he's carrying cheese to his brothers. You know, we aren't always where we prefer to be. But God has placed us there because he has a plan for us. And because David obeyed, it put him into a place where God could use him mightily. God used David's faithfulness to raise him to another level. How often do we need to fight our giants alone? Because we're not where God wants us to be. We all know that David fought Goliath and he killed him. But don't miss this point. David didn't go out there to fight the giant. That wasn't his reason for going. He was going to deliver food to his brothers. He was obedient to his father. Now, had David not learned the wisdom of faithfulness, he wouldn't have been there. Faithfulness is God's path for promotion. And so if you ever hope to kill a giant, if you ever hope to do something great for God, learn how to be faithful right where you are, doing what you can in the situation that you find yourself in. You know, sometimes we'd like to be in charge when all God wants us to do is carry cheese. David also had the right attitude toward his brothers. And in this case, I'm sure that was much harder. Those aggravating, troublemaking brothers. And I like the way David put it there in verse 29. What have I done now? What have I done this time? It's like, this isn't the first time he's been belittled and ridiculed by his brothers. And yet David's innocent. He was getting chewed out even though he had done absolutely nothing wrong. And at this point, I think a lot of us would have forgotten about the giant and we would have jumped on our brother. But not David. He didn't get mad. He didn't get sidetracked. And in verse 30, he just turned to someone else and again asked about Goliath. So if Satan is using a person, it's easy to attack that person. And that's exactly what Satan wants us to do. So every time we encounter the enemy, we have a choice. We can respond our way, or we can respond the right way. And there is only one way, and that's God's way. David had the right attitude toward people. He was quick to obey his dad. He was slow to get mad at his brothers. And the second thing we must do is seek the right attitude toward our problem, toward our giant, so to speak. In verse 11, the Israelites were dismayed, greatly afraid, immobilized. They had been that way for 40 days. David comes on the scene and he tells Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go out and fight this Philistine." Now, part of David's good attitude, I think, came from his private worship of God. You know, you read through the psalm that Brother Dwayne read today again. Very clearly, David had a relationship with God, worshiped him out there in the field many times. That's where many of the psalms were written. So, David had absolutely no military training. Spent his time tending sheep and spending a lot of time worshiping God. That was his training for whatever he faced, spending time with God. And David grew to know God by worshiping him privately. And now God could reward him openly. David's attitude came from his private worship of God, and it also came through the problems he had faced in the past. So verses 34 through 37, David reminds us that today's struggles can be foundations for tomorrow's success. It always helps us to look back to see what the Lord has done in our life. Have you had victories in the past? David's good attitude came through the problems he had faced. And then third, it came from his godly parents. David didn't just meet the Lord when he was tending sheep or wrestling the bear. He first met the Lord at his parents' feet. David's great-grandparents were the faithful believers Boaz and Ruth. And the first time we see David in Scripture, David is at a worship service with his family. And so parents and grandparents here this morning, hear me. God wants you to have an impact that lasts beyond your lifetime to the next generation. Are you doing something with your children and grandchildren that will create that? Private worship, past problems, godly parents, all these help David have the right attitude toward his problem. You know, when everyone else there in Israel stayed focused on the giant, David kept his focus on God. He was keeping his eyes on God, and that's what we must do. Seek the right attitude toward our problem. And then seek the right attitude toward your provider. Who is your provider? Here in the danger zone, David focused on three sure things about God. First, he focused on God's goodness. Verse 37, he knew that it was the Lord that delivered him from the lion and the bear. No question. And David had faith that the Lord would deliver him from this giant. When David was about to face the giant, he focused on God's goodness. And then in verses 38 to 40, he focused on God's gifts. Here Saul is trying to get David, half his size, to wear Saul's armor. And David tells Saul, I can't wear these. Not just because they're too big, but also because I haven't had any previous victories with these. I can't put any confidence in this. They haven't been tested. He had not yet found the armor to be faithful like God was. But he had found God to be faithful. So that's all he wanted. And so God gave David the skill to use that sling, and God gave him the stones from the brook. Now, why did David pick 5 smooth stones? Well, we're not going to take the time to turn to it, but in 2 Samuel 21, the last part of the chapter there, it talks about other battles that Israel had later. And it mentions 4 different people that David's men killed. Verse 22 says, these 4 were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. Now, David didn't kill all 4 of those men, but his servants did. And they weren't all killed by the stones, but those 4 stones represented Goliath's 4 sons. Interesting picture there. And so while David himself didn't kill all the sons, they represent, you know, it was a picture of God telling David, I'll use you to destroy future giants. So all of us have giants and abilities that God has given us. We may not be able to hit the broadside of a barn with a slingshot and these stones, but God has given you gifts and abilities. Pick them up and use them for him. You know, when David was about to face the giant, he focused on God's gifts to him. And Goliath may have been a giant, but David stood up for the glory of God. And for that reason, God gave him the victory. And so someday, you're going to face giants. But just like David, we can win. And the time to get ready is now. Seek the right attitude toward people, problem, and your provider. Every giant can be defeated. Regardless of what giants you're dealing with or what problems you're facing, what temptations you may be grappling with, they can be defeated. And remember this about Goliath. Are you aware that Goliath was not always a giant? Do you know that he was born as a little baby, helpless little baby? And with the passing of time and the nurturing of others, that little baby became a toddler. And the toddler became a child. And the child became a teenager. And the teenager became a young man. And the young man turned into a giant of a person. So our giants often begin small. It would have been a lot easier to exterminate him as a baby. It's a lot easier for us to exterminate our giants when they're small. You know, I've never met an alcoholic that didn't start with one drink. Start small. Little things turn into big things if we let them. And we learn from David's victory over this giant that the battle is God's, not ours. And the reason our giants defeat us again and again is that we face them in our own strength many times. Story is told about Abraham Lincoln during the low times of the Civil War. And one of his aides said, "Mr. President, I hope the Lord is on our side." And the president wisely said, "I am more concerned if we are on the Lord's side." And so David clearly chose God's side, and the human odds were not in his favor. So we need God's help to face our giants, and we need to fight with spiritual weapons. When we pray about something, we're able to see it properly. One of the purposes of prayer is to get things in perspective. And when we see God for who He is, we're going to see our giants for what they are. And the problem is that we often look at God in the light of our giants instead of looking at our giants in the light of God. You remember that Goliath came from the Canaanites, where the 10 spies said, "There are giants out there. We look like grasshoppers." And because of their fear and refusal to trust God, an entire generation of people died without ever seeing the promised land. How many are dying today because they're enslaved to their giants, because they don't trust God for the victory? And we learn from David's example that we need to attack our giants. They're not just going to go away. Goliath was actually stepping out from the Philistine ranks and taunting these Israelites. If we tolerate a giant, he will take over our territory. You don't run from a giant. You don't negotiate with them. You attack them. And as Goliath moved closer to attack David, David quickly ran to meet him. And he didn't just hold his ground. He didn't walk out cautiously, but he ran toward Goliath. You know, nothing is going to change until we attacked our giant. And it's a spiritual battle and must be fought with spiritual weapons. As you face your giant, remember that the battle belongs to God. You need His help. So let Him do it. Let Him do it through you. Fight with the power that only He can give you. When conquering giants, remember it's not about your abilities. It's all about what God has done when we rely on Him. And God does mighty things with humble people who submit to His leading. Our job is to be obedient, not to run away or cower in fear. Our job is to know what is right, step up to doing what is right, and trust God for the victory. I'll close with this to encourage you daily as you face your giants. The giant in front of you is never bigger than the God inside of you. And also, don't tell God how big your giants are. Rather, tell your giants how big your God is. Focus on the giants and you're going to stumble. Focus on God and your giants will tumble. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we've looked at this account many times, and we were just intrigued with your faithfulness, your direction, and your involvement in David's life, because David involved you in his life. And so, Father, we take that as a challenge to each of us this morning. Help us to leave this place this morning fully refreshed in the discouragements we may face, the various giants we face, the temptations possibly, whatever it is that each one of us are facing, that we would leave this place encouraged and see that through the power of God we can defeat those giants. And Father, I pray success and victory over every situation, every giant that's out there, for every person here this morning, that we would use the spiritual armor that you have equipped us with, and yet we need to adopt and take on your word and the many armor traits to defeat the enemy successfully. And we want to do that, Father, and spend time in your word and be all that you want us to be. And so, Father, we give ourselves to you. Thank you for the victories that we can have through Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.